Good morning, everybody. Ain't God good to us? Tell you what, I know that the news and everybody tell you this country's in a depression and a recession, but I'm too blessed to be recessed or depressed. He's been good to me. I can't speak for you, but He's blessed me beyond means and loved me beyond any kind of measure I could ever think of down here on this old world. And I love Him and I praise Him this morning. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. Psalms, chapter number 37. It is a little warm up here. Begin reading with verse number 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off, or soon shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father God, I come to you a needful creature this morning, Lord. God, I ask if there's anything between me and thee, Lord, you remove it. That God, you forgive me of my sins and shortcomings, Lord. God, empty me of me and fill me of you and help me to be a blessing to your people, Lord. God, my most sincere prayer, Lord, is you just save out nearest Hell's Gate this morning, God. Be they in this place or wherever they are, Lord, that you just touch them before it's everlasting too late. God, I ask you to be with my pastor as he gets ready to stand during the preaching hour, Lord. God, that you just touch every song that's sung, every word that's spoke, Lord. That God would bring you honor and glory, Heavenly Father, and we'd see you high, holy, and lifted up. God, I thank you for who you are, Lord, and what you're doing and what you're going to do. Lord, you're good to us, and I love you. And I praise you, and I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. By introduction, I'd like to say there's a lot of should and shouldn'ts in the Bible. And this scripture right here has got a lot of shoulds, things that we should do. And I find I have a lot more easier time with the things that I should do than the things I shouldn't do. That's why a lot of people don't like this Bible, because it says thou shalt not. It ain't that they have problems understanding it, all the these and the thous and the where to fors and the why tos. That's not what they have problems with. The problem they have with it is it says that you don't or you should not. I mean, the shoulds are multiple in this chapter in the Bible. Verse number 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Verse number 4 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." 7 says, "Rest in the Lord." 8 says, "Cease from anger." Verse 27 says, "Depart from evil and do good." And verse 34 says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way." But my thoughts are going toward the should nots today. Lord, help me. I'd like to preach just a few minutes on the should nots. And there's three basic ones. There's three ones in here that he says the same way all three times. In verse number 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Verse number 7, he says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way." And verse number 8 says, he says, "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." So I'd like to preach on this simple thought this morning. It ain't much, but it touched my heart. It says, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Because I'm telling you right now, that word fret's used 7 times in the Bible. It's used once in Leviticus in 13:55, and they used it when they would bring the wrappings or the bandages off one that had the leprosy or the plague, and they bring it before the priest. And depending on the color of the infection on the rag, the priest would lock it away for 7 days. And after that 7 days, they'd open it up to see if that infection had eaten a hole in that garment or had eaten a hole in that bandage. And so it was called fretting inward or fret inward. In other words, it'd eat from the outside in. in 1 Samuel 1 and 6, it was to be violently agitated or to have a rage. In other words, there was two women over there. One could have children, one couldn't. So the one that could taunted the one that couldn't, and she got mad. So she fretted toward her. It caused her to fret or to be angry or to be teased. In Psalms and Proverbs, it's used four times, and it means to be displeased, to be grievous, to be jealous, or to be worrisome. And that's what it's speaking about. We're here in the Psalms, and over there in Proverbs, I think it's 24 and 19, it says, fret not thyself also. In Isaiah 8 and 21, it speaks of a burst out in rage or to anger or to be angry because of oneself. And over there in Isaiah, it's talking about the time when man gets mad at God and breaks out in rage at God because of his own shortcomings, not because of something God did, but because of something he did, but he's so blinded by his own eyes that he gets mad at God for it. He gets mad at everybody but himself for it. So that's what that fret means. So that word fret not thyself. And we shouldn't fret. We shouldn't fret. We shouldn't become angry. We shouldn't do these things because it can become a sore that bores a hole. It can take a bitter root and it can just bore a hole and take root in your heart if you're not careful. So you don't need to be fretting over things. I heard all my life about fretting over this and fretting over that. I never could figure out what my grandmama, granddaddy, aunts and uncles were talking about when they said, well, you don't need to fret over that. Never could figure out what fret meant. And the Lord opened my eyes and he showed me this. I'm 52 years old, so 50-something years later, I get to find out, hey, that's what fret's all about. But we shouldn't fret. We should not fret. Why? Because, number one, he will support. He will support. Verse number 25, look at that with me if you would. It says, and I'm sorry, verse number 24. He will support. Though he fall, you're going to fall. Trust me, child of God, you're going to fall. You say, well, preacher, I'm not falling. I haven't had anything go wrong. I haven't been outside the will of God. Everything's going good. Hold on. The ground's coming up quicker than you think it is. Now, I'm telling you right now, but for the grace of God, I'd be laying somewhere in a gutter somewhere. I'd be laying somewhere in some hole I didn't need to be in, somewhere I didn't need to be in some jail cell. But thanks be unto God, you know, I have fallen. I have tripped. I'm not perfect. I have had the ground fly up and hit me in the face. But thanks be unto God, I've had someone there that supports me, someone there that holds me, someone that's there with me. Look over in Micah chapter number 7, the book of Micah chapter number 7. That's between Nahum and Jonah, for those of you that don't know where it's at. Micah chapter number 7. And verse number 7 says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Aren't you glad one day there was a light got turned on in your life? Because all you was doing was walking around in the darkness of this old world, the darkness of your sins, the darkness of your own doings, didn't have any idea where you was going, what you was doing, how you was doing it, why you was doing it, or even who you was doing it to. And in one great and glorious day, the God of glory come by, flipped on the light switch, and that light beam just shined right down on you. Exposed everything you was doing, exposed you for exactly who you were, and you saw that light. And thanks be unto God, He supported you on that day when you cried out to Him. He reached down into that miry clay. He picked you up and set your feet upon a rock. He established your goings. He set you on a path of righteousness for His name's sake. You ain't been saved just to sit back there and enjoy it. You haven't been saved just to go to heaven. You've been saved be up and about the Father's business, doing the glory of God. I'm telling you this morning, we need to understand that He does support us. Don't think you're out there on your own, child of God, because you're not. Hebrews 5 and 13 tells me He will never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me always, even to the end of the world. He's going to be with me even when I cross over into that valley of death. It tells me over there in my Bible that He says, "They, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod in Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." I've never been alone since that day I cried out for God to save me. I've never took a step, drew a breath. My heart's never beat one time by myself does God save me? Why? Because He's there to support me. He holds me up. He braces me up. When I can't stand on my own, He's there to hold me. He's there for me. Thanks be unto God. He's the one that holds us and supports us and is with us for all things. We ain't never going to face nothing on your own, child of God. Don't think, oh, your neighbors will run off and leave you. Your friends will forsake you. Your family will disown you. But there's one God of glory that when He comes and makes His abode in you, He's there forever. He's there for all time. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than to be supported by the glory of God. He's good to us this morning. Yes, He is. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Thanks be unto God, cast down. Gives us the idea of being thrown away, pushed aside, removed or destroyed. Thanks be unto God that even though after He saved me, He should have. Even after He saved me, He should have broke my back and thrown me in the deepest pit of hell for some of the things I've done, some of the things I've said, some of the places I've been, some of the things that's been in my life that I've done. Even ever since He saved me, He should have done that to me. He should have utterly cast me down. But He didn't. Look over in Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And this is why He don't. Because He loves us this morning. He's a good God this morning. And He loves us. Jeremiah 18. Verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. It doesn't say he got him a brand new batch of clay and started. Doesn't say he started all over from a fresh or new. It says he made it again, which means he started all over with me. When I let him down, he picked me up and dusted me off and started all over again. When I've gone against what he said, he'll pick me up and support me, dust me off, and let me start all over again. I'm telling you, he's good to us this morning. He loves us in spite of ourselves. It's just like that song we sing. He knew me, yet he loved me. I can't figure that out. I wouldn't love me for no more than about 2 or 3 seconds, and I'd have killed me graveyard dead. But he saw fit to send his own begotten son to hang and die on an old rugged cross that I could go free. Then he saw fit to put me in a one-room Baptist church where I could hear a holy man of God preach to me the holy word of God and the Holy Ghost of God come and touch my heart, prick my heart, and make me realize my situation in life, that I was dying and on my way to a devil's hell, that I was going to be in that place did I not repent. But he saw fit to use me as a piece of that clay. He saw fit to mold me. I haven't been completely molded yet. He still breaks me up and chips and sands. I'm telling you, it's painful being a Christian, but it ain't easy. It's not supposed to be. Bible says we're going to suffer persecution just for mentioning His name. All we got to do is say the name Jesus Christ. We can get out here and talk about God till the cows come home. We can get out and talk about God until He comes to take us home and the world don't care. But oh, you start mentioning that darling Lamb of God. You start mentioning the name Jesus Christ. You start talking about the blood of Calvary. You start talking about redemption. You start talking about atonement. You start talking about the saving grace of God. And people get upset. This old world, they can't understand it. They don't understand it. But thanks be unto God, I was not utterly cast down. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth. That word upholdeth means to bear up, to establish, to hold, to stay, sustain, to support. For the Lord upholdeth him, not with a prop, he don't build something to stick you up against, or he don't lean you up against a tree or a wall. He don't put you in some easy chair or padded pew. He holds you up with his hand. With his hand. Don't you tell me God don't get personally involved in my life. Yes, He sends angels to minister to us. Yes, He sends guardian angels to look after us. Yes, He sends angels to do this and that for us. But my God's involved in my life. That can't something as big as God moving in me and not be involved in my life. People say all the time, I wish I could just cut myself and so God could just see people. Well, you ain't got much of Him in there, because if you got Him, He ought to be oozing out somewhere. And shouldn't nobody have no problem seeing Him in you if He's in you. I'm telling you right now, He's good to us this morning. He loves us. Why? Because He supports us this morning. Not only does He support us, but He will supply. He will supply. Look at verse number 25. Verse number 25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old. Can you think of a time during your life that the Lord hasn't supplied you with every one of your needs? I don't mean your wants. I mean your needs. I can sit right here and tell you the answer to that's no, because you're here. If He didn't give you what you need, you wouldn't be here. Because you can't draw a breath, your heart won't beat, you can't do nothing without Him. That's what the Bible says. Without Him, I can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Oh, that word forsaken means to reject, to cast off, to be left alone, to be deserted or to abandon. And that righteous, we're His righteous. He has never forsaken us. He's never rejected us, cast us off, or abandoned us. 1 Samuel 12 and 22, you ain't got to go there, says, for the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. May I remind you, the Lord does as He pleases, and He's pleased with what He does. He don't ask us for our opinions. Every time I get on a computer and look up my emails, I don't see an email from God asking me what I thought about this or what I thought about that. My phone doesn't buzz with a text message from the thrones of glory saying, I need your advice on this, Joe. He don't do that. He does as He pleases, and He's pleased with what He does. If you don't understand it, you need to talk to Him about it. I can't give you the answer all the time. The pastor can't give you the answer all the time. Your best friend can't give you the answer all the time. But I know the one that has all the answers. Why? Because He made up all the questions. That's why I know He has all the answers. So you need to get on your knees and ask Him what He wants in your life, what's going on or why. He's not going to ask you your opinion, because God don't have no plan B's. He ain't sitting up in the throne room of God at a drafting table with white out in one hand and an eraser in another hand making changes to His plan. It ain't happening. He's sitting up there on charge. He's sitting up there on the throne. He's in control. He's almighty. He's all powerful, and He hasn't changed. He has not changed since from before He ever was. Since before He was until all throughout eternity, He'll be the same God. Micah 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord and I change not. So, you know, people just don't want to believe exactly what the Bible says. It says He changes not. He's the same God. The promises are still the same. The salvation's still the same. All roads don't lead to heaven. You try to bypass or step over the blood of Christ, hell will be your home. That's the only way I know how to put it this morning. It's like I said on the radio station this morning. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. I ain't going to change it. That's the way it is. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There ain't no other way to get to heaven. I'm telling you right now, people think that all roads, well, if I'm good enough, I'll get there. If I give enough, I'll get there. Or if I do enough, I'll get there. You'll miss the bullseye. You'll miss the whole blooming target, and hell be your home. That's the only way I know how to put it this morning. Why? Because He set it up that way. That was His plan from the beginning, from before the foundations of the world were ever laid. That's why He will supply to us. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. He's good to us, nor his seed begging bread. That word seed right there means offspring or descendants or children of the Father. Boy, ain't that good to know that you're one of His seeds. Ain't that good to know that you're one of His offsprings, that you're one of His children. Thanks be unto God, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a child of the King. They can't nobody change that. Did you know I've been adopted in? And according to the old Roman laws, children that were adopted had more rights than natural-born children into the family. A father could denounce or deny a natural-born child in that family, but he could not deny one that was adopted. The father could not say, that's not my child. Because of the laws of the Rome, he could not do it. So therefore, I've been adopted into the law, and I've been adopted into the family of God, and I have a place waiting for me. I have a place that I'm going to one great and glorious day. I have a place that I'm going to be at forever and ever in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm one of His seed. I'm one of His seed. Psalms 84. Flip over a few pages if you would. Psalms 84. Nor His seed begging bread. God's going to take care of us, folks. God is going to... You can look at this fat boy and tell He's been taking care of me. I ain't missed no meals. I didn't have to hook up a 2-horse wagon to get up here. I didn't have to stop and push it the rest of the way up the driveway because I run out of gas. He takes care of me. And I thank Him and I praise Him this morning. Psalms 84, verse number 9 says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. That's us, folks. That's us that have been born again. For a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And that's right. You know, I've been thinking about these. I believe there's going to be different places and different positions in heaven. We're all going to have work to do. And I'd just soon be a doorkeeper at one of them pearly gates as I had anything else. I'm telling you right now, it's just to get there is just going to be an honor. Just to get there is going to be wonderful. Just to be in His presence is going to be so much more than we've ever been able to imagine. The Bible says, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has for those in store that love Him. We ain't got a clue. John tried his best to tell us what we had waiting for us over there in the book of Revelation, to tell us how great the city was and how the streets are pure gold and the crystal river of life flowing out of the throne room, the 12 trees and all the pearls and diamonds and rubies and all the sapphire and all these things. But it don't hold a candle to what really waits for us up there. We ain't got a clue as to what God's got waiting for us up there. I'm telling you, nor is seed begging bread. He will supply, He will support, and He will supply, and finally, He will seal. He will seal. Look at verse number 28 in the text over there in Psalm 37. Verse number 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. That word saints means godly or good or holy. 1 Samuel 2, you don't have to turn there. Verse number 8 says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princesses and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. In other words, it's everything He's done. It ain't nothing we've done. I'm telling you right now, folks, if it wasn't for a holy, righteous God, oh, where would we be? Oh, where would we be? It just scares me to think, you know, I think about how blessed I was to be raised up in church. My mama, I've said it before, that I had a drug problem from as far back as I can remember, about the age of 17. Every time them church doors opened, I was drugged to church. That's my drug problem. I was there for singings, revivals, the Wednesday night service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening churches. Thank God I had some parents that loved me enough to bring me to the house of God where I could hear some preaching out of the King James Bible so I could hear about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I could hear about that place called heaven and that place called hell and about the old patriarchs and the saints and the apostles and all the things I got to hear so I'd know what I'd have to look forward to one day when I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. But had I not heard or had that opportunity, oh, where would I be? Oh, where would I be? I shudder to think about the possibilities of the places I could be at. Because of my job and the things I do and the places I go, it scares me to think that I could be there. And God take His hand off me and I would be there. I'm telling you right now, it ain't but by the grace of God that we are what we are and we have what we have. It's all about Him. It ain't nothing about us. It ain't nothing we've ever done. It's for by strength shall no man prevail. No man. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved. That word preserved means to keep or to guard, to keep watch over, to protect, to save, to observe, to treasure up. Do you know you're one of God's little treasures? You are one of God's treasures, one of His jewels. You're one of God's precious jewels that He stores up. You know, I don't know what waits on me over there. I have no idea what I'm going to inherit, but I know it's going to be wonderful and I know it's going to be glorious. But the thing I'm looking to most of all, I want to see the one that preserved me. I want to see the one that died for me. You know, when people say, well, I'm going to run up, I'm going to hug his neck and shake his head. No, you won't. You're going to be like John over there. You're going to turn around and look at him and then you're going to fall on your face as dead. You might take you a millennia or two to drag your feet up to the hem of his garment. The first thing you're going to see is them nail-scarred feet. And then maybe you might work yourself up to where you can look him face to face and eye to eye. But But I'm telling you right now, he's still going to be holy. He's still going to be righteous. He's still going to be the one and only. He's going to be the rose of Sharon. He's going to be the fairest of 10,000. He's going to be the bright and the morning star. He's going to be wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is my anchor. He is my rock. He's everything I need this morning. I don't need anything but him this morning. And all I got to do is just rely on him, and he'll turn around and supply me with everything I need. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful to know that we can depend on him for all our needs, you see, because he don't owe us nothing. He don't owe us a thing. And we owe him everything. Boy, he got the short end of that stick, didn't he? He got the bad end of that deal to save some old wretch like me. Not only are we preserved, but look where we're preserved. Look in the book of Jude, chapter number 1. Jude 1. Not only that we are preserved, but where we're preserved. Jude 1 and 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You are preserved in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, set in the body of Christ, who is hid inside the body of God. In other words, we're double sealed. You know, my mama's made jams, preserves, and canned stuff and everything all my life. You know, but even after a year or so, that stuff will start to mold. Corruption will start to get into that. You can put meat in a salt block and leave it there long enough and the whole thing will turn blue because it's just got salt poison and everything else. It'll rot. You can't preserve it to last forever. You can do whatever you want to preserve it or to keep it. I've heard about how people take now, and these rich folks will take an old car and they'll put it in a vacuum chamber and put all these solvents and stuff in it. It's supposed to keep it, but them tires will still go flat. That air will get out of there, and that stuff still fall apart. Why? Because it's not meant to last forever. But thanks be unto God, I'm preserved. Forever. There's not going to make me old one day. One of these days I'm going to have a glorified body. It's not going to get any older. It's not going to have any pain. It's not going to know any sorrow. It's not going to know any sickness. It's not going to shed any tears. It's not going to do anything except sit up there and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God." I'm telling you, we need to understand that we're preserved forever today. We are preserved for all eternity because we're preserved in Christ, who's preserved in God. He will seal, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Forever. That word means always, eternal, everlasting, perpetual, without end, indefinite, unending, eternity. Revelation 21. That'd be the last place we go this morning. Revelation 21. And child of God, if this don't bless your heart, you better do some checking up. 21:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Thanks be unto God, one of these days. One of these days we're going to leave all this behind. It's going to be a big old trash pile on this side of Jordan one day. God's going to come, going to take His children home, and we're all going to go home, people. We're going to have a great homecoming day where there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, neither will there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Thanks be unto God, everything will be made new, and we'll have all the glories of God to look forward to, all the wonders of heaven to bask in, all the saints to sit around and talk with. But the greatest thing of all is our Lord and Savior will be there. And He will be our light. And He will be our glory. And He will be everything He's always been to us. And we'll get to see Him as He really is. Don't worry. Be happy.